Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Yo, everybody, welcome back to what I consider the first real episode from the Eastern Standard Time. I'm no longer in my kitchen on the floor on a laptop with no headphones, no camera, no mic. I have a chair. I'm not making lasagna, and we're ready to get started. And of course, I'm here with Justin, aka Nemesis Prime. What do you think, dude? Setup, it's looking very similar, right? It's like a
and you have the headphones and the mic, so you sound better for everybody, because I know everybody's been complaining that you've been, you know, they couldn't hear you over the past couple weeks, which I think is BS. You know, sometimes we have to travel and we have, you know, we do what we do.
It's probably true. And I apologize for the poor, but hey, some of those I was doing like from a hotel. I did one from a hotel, I think. And then
we did it on the phone. We did it on our phones here and there, you know?
Yeah, dude. So now we got a good episode. I'm excited to kind of feel, it really feels like it's like authentic now. Like everything else is just kind of like, this is Biden time or whatever, but we got a great episode. We're going to get into a lot of stuff, comic news, some King Kong information, some movie TV stuff. But before we get into that, we do have a special guest here.
Yeah, we always have a guest, and he's got to be the only person with this.
Are you ready?
Up straight into the market, you ready?
Hot
topics from this week, you ready? Out the door. Into it, it's market report time, you ready? So, Jay, I got to ask you, you ready? I'm ready to go. Zach?
Yeah.
I got to ask, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So, that being said, I got to ask you, you ready?
I'm ready. Out to the man.
Man that I'm excited to go over. You ready?
Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do. That's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
I love it.
The one, the only, Black Crown Comics.
Yo, this episode's totally gonna get taken down with that song, but regardless. Guys,
thank you on YouTube, bro. So don't matter.
Yeah, I'm, dude. I have an intro on this podcast, so that's amazing. I feel honored, but slightly disappointed, because Zach, you invite an Italian and you're not making lasagna. What's going on, bro? Justin, we got to talk to our boy.
He had it last week, man. I was craving it after he was talking about it before the show and even during the show when I got to see it.
You would have been pissed and like insulted. It was great value, like frozen lasagna. It wasn't anything special, dude. It was like not even the family size. I told my wife, get something that we can just eat real quick. We didn't have any silverware. We didn't have any plates. We had nothing, man. And I was like, I don't know, like a frozen lasagna. Oh, she didn't even get the family size, dude. She got just like, when I saw it, I was like, I'm going to eat this whole thing. I don't know. What are we doing here?
Oh, man. Dude, I haven't had frozen lasagna. Like, the last time I had a Michelina's, I was in high school. So, just to give you an idea.
I mean, it's top stuffer ones. Ugh.
It's not great. It wasn't great. But
yeah, no kidding. But at least you're alive. That's what matters. You're here for the show this week.
So, well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. Like everyone, just so you know, we're recording April 11th. It's Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And yeah, dude, let's just get right into it. Justin, I think you mentioned we did have a question. So let's start off with the question from the community.
Well, the question kind of goes with more of something that we're talking about. So let's kind of get into King Kong.
Cool.
You know, the community stuff. So, dude, King Kong was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I was super excited to just hang out with you, because it's been literally almost 2 years just to hang out with you, the community. You know, shout out to, of course, our buddy V. Ken Marion, just hanging out with him like all day on Saturday, just chopping it up, talking video games, talking comics, you know, you know, again, and I really got to give a shout out. I appreciate everybody who said kind words about Ken's art, and just, it was awesome to have him there. You know, he was set up with us, so he wasn't with the other artists, but it was just such a cool thing to just have somebody there with us. And, you know, again, everybody that stopped by and said hi, you know, people that we don't know, obviously local in the community, but do listen. So we appreciate that. Anybody that bought our variants, the Ahsoka thing, we do have those available. But yeah, man, King Kong was such a good time bringing the community together. And then, of course, you know, the partying on that Friday night, that's what Terrificon's going to be. So I enjoyed it. Can't wait for the next one. And then, of course, got to give a shout out to Greg, MTG Comics, who puts it on.
For sure. Yeah, I had a blast. Obviously, I've missed the previous King Cons and sucked not being able to go to those. But, dude, I had so much fun hanging out with everyone. And I'm going to say this both with, like, the people who are there, like the people in the part of the community and the listeners and stuff. I apologize. I am bad with names. And it's like, it's bad in like the real world. It's bad with like people I've known for years. It's just something I'm really trying to work on. So if I've met you before and then I saw you this time and it seemed like I didn't really know your name, it's probably, I didn't remember, and that's on me, not you. So I do apologize if that happened. But everyone was really cool. Like Justin said, a lot of people came up and, you know, were like, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. I had one person say they've been listening, following since I was like originally on YouTube, which was awesome. It's just so great, dude. It really like makes it worthwhile. I think Justin and I were talking to someone who said the same thing, like, oh yeah, I've been listening to you. And I think I made the joke like, oh, so you're the person who listens to us. You know, it's nice to know there's someone out there. But yeah, dude, thanks for everyone. I mean, all the guys in the community, the Pressable Defects, Mike the Beast, Chinmo, Exillusionary, Anthony, who else were we hanging out with?
Tim.
Tim for sure. Yeah.
Three men guys, you know, everybody. Guys. And, you know, and it's almost like, I don't want to say this, but it's like almost like you're like the celebrity too, because like people that don't know you, people that have never met you because you're not an East Coast guy until now, you know, like it's different. People have always either seen you on a box in the YouTube world, or they've just heard you here on the podcast. So for them to, you know, actually meet you and, you know, and the interactions, it's fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun, man. And it was like that at Terrificon too. I mean, it's just the same larger scale, right? Yeah, dude, I'm excited. I think it bodes well. Like, I'm really pumped for being out here on the East Coast and being able to, like, chill with everyone. Like, it's just, it's a great vibe, dude. And I don't want to keep talking about it too much because obviously BC wasn't there. We kind of leave him out here. But
oh, no, dude, I lived vicariously through all the posts and, like, it looked awesome, especially your exclusive, which was killer. So
there was no drama.
Yeah.
That was badass. Right, Justin? I don't remember any drama, no stories, no one doing shady things.
No, it was fun. Literally Friday night, everybody just hang out at the Irish pub bar in the hotel. Like that's what it was about. Like it didn't matter. There's no clicks. There's no nothing. Everybody's just hanging out, talking comics. Yeah, they may be shit talking some people, but you know what? It was a group effort, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. And you guys, if I'm not mistaken, that was your first setup, right? At a con.
Yeah. True first setup for the podcast. I set up last year at King Kong with my buddy because he was selling a lot of his dad's collection. So, you know, but for the first time that me and Zach did it, you know, more professionally, had the cool banner and obviously tons of our stuff. But
yeah,
you know,
Justin, it was definitely great work with the banner.
So we could excuse Zach for being like, oh, hi, Luigi, nice to meet you. And the guy's like, no, I'm Steve. But yes, nice to meet you.
Look, there should be some excuse. Give me some grace, because like I meet people once. I mean, last time I was out in public for this kind of stuff was probably Terrificon, which was 2 years ago. Right.
Yeah.
And dude, I'm gonna be honest, most of the times, and this is what you guys expect from me, right? Like most of the times I've been drinking. So like, I'm usually a little buzzed. And on Saturday I was hurting a little bit. I was pretty hungover, but
yeah, he definitely was. I was like, listen, I was like, I gotta cut out early. Like I gotta make sure at least there's someone that's coherent at the booth at 9 a.m. And
yeah,
you know. And then of course you had the long drive to it, you had the long drive back. Like
the drive was murder.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, you know, if it was a little bit different where you were not, you know, barely, you know, brand new to the East Coast, I would have said, bro, just crash at the place. You could have left on Sunday. Like,
and shout out to the wife for allowing me to come up and leave her in a house that was like not furnished as the movers. The movers showed up Friday and I peaced out at like 1 and they were just finishing dropping off all of her stuff. So peaced out on the wife with a 10-month-old. So shout out to her for allowing that to happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But guys, Terrificon is going to be my first appearance out since starting YouTube. So we're getting together for the first time. That is concerning. Yeah, I'm worried for when I get together.
You confirming this for real? Like, is this a definite?
We'll see you when you're there, dude. Yeah. When a 5 foot five dude shows up, we'll know.
No. 5 foot eight.
Eight, okay.
And don't show up like Friday night and leave Sunday morning.
The goal is to show up Friday morning, leave probably like Sunday mid afternoon.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
But when anything in between night. That, I'm totally not coming. I'm not coming for comics. I'm telling you straight up. Like we're gonna chill. We're gonna have a good time. That's all I care about.
You'll see, dude. It's a weird experience having people who like listen to you, like come up to you and say, like, hey man, you know, I'm a big fan, you know. It's very humbling and awkward, honestly. Like I get kind of, it always makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Like, oh hey man, I'm on. I'm like, yeah, it's just Zach, dude. Just Zach's fine. You'll see, dude. Like, it's special though. There is something special about like seeing people in the community that are actually listening to you and been following you for a while. It's like I said, it's very humbling. And like, I know Justin and I very appreciative, and I'm sure you will be too. You know.
Oh, dude, I don't imagine anybody coming up to me like, "Hey, I know this guy." No,
they will, dude.
Not.
They will. We've got stickers, bro. We got stickers. Yeah. They're ready to go, man. They were a big hit at King Kong.
Speaking of stickers, yeah, we handed out some of those. We handed out some of the Jewel stickers. So there was these two little kids, like towards like the end.
Oh, they
were
yes.
like handing out flyers. They would just like walk around, like different booths had flyers, right? And so these kids were handing out flyers, and they were flyers of like, hey, we buy collections or whatever. And so they came by for like the second or third time, and we had a bunch of the stickers, the Jewels and your stickers, and we were like, hey, pass these out. So these kids went to like all the booths and handed the stickers out that Justin made. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So good times all around. And again, you know, we'll definitely do it again next year. Without a doubt. And you know, and again, we cannot thank Ken for hanging out with us. And you know, there is stuff that is in the works for Terrificon. So, you know, with Ken and us, and something that I just, you know, I talked about it, before that we were going to be dropping a exclusive cover, and it was of course with Mad Love, and it's the art book. It's not, you know, people are like, oh, it's not a comic book. Listen, what we're going to do for Terrificon is going to blow people's minds. That's all I'm going to say.
It's going to be great. Dude, big shout out to Ken. I had so much fun just sitting there shooting the shit about like everything, dude. Final Fantasy, comics, movies, video games, everything, like random stuff. Like he's just sitting there drawing Bizarro and I'm watching him. I'm like blown out of my mind. Like I don't have skills like that. Like, and I'm not just talking about art, but like creative skills like that. And just to see someone like, he looked so like real before we move on, like he looked at the picture of Bizarro. Mike the Beast came up and said, hey, I want a Bizarro Superman. Kid was like, cool, sounds good. Pulls up like a Google image or some picture and like just to refresh himself. And he had it out there for like just a bit, dude, as he kind of like did maybe the outline of the character. Mm-hmm. Then his phone changed off and then it was just boom, boom, boom. And you're just like seeing this character get created like live right next to you. I mean, it's impressive, man. It's really impressive. Yeah. So it was cool.
He did a great job on that. You know, he did a great job on our buddy Juan, Jen's wife, his wife, Jen.
Yeah.
He did the Sakura from Cardcaptors. And it was just such a cool thing because I was talking to Jen and Juan and she goes, oh, I love his art and he's got some anime stuff. I wonder if he knows, you know, Cardcaptors. And I'm like, Ken, and I was like, remember an anime called Card Captors? And he's like, I think so. He's like, the girl, she had like a wand. And I go, yep, that's the one, you know, and he nailed that. And I've been looking at that photo because I took the picture and sent it to Jen and I literally left King Kong and went directly to their house and dropped it off to her. And it was just, it was really cool. So if you guys ever get a chance, definitely get a commission from Ken because he's got fantastic lines. Line art is wild. So
speaking of, if you're not following on Instagram, it's V Ken Marion. Follow him. He just posted right now. He has a spring sale for all of his artwork at Modern Mythology Comic Arts web store. So check out the link in his bio. If you see what you go and look, the Bizarro's up on his page. You can see all the stuff he's done, dude. It's badass. So check that out and hit up that spring sale, man. Can't turn that down. Nice. So anyway, let's let's move on. What do we want to do? We want to do some articles, or we
wanna... well, let's stick with the community. So we got the one community question, which does lead into our for one of our topics. So of course, this comes from another Canadian, Paperweight Collects. So we asked, his question is, did the Joker trailer change your perspective of the movie, on the movie? So let's go around the horn. Mr. Guest, first up.
So I'm going to say it slightly did. Slightly. I anticipated a disaster, to be honest, because I'm not a fan of musicals, man. I was just watching Hercules, the animated, with my kid, and every time they were singing, I was cringing. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know why. So we know that that's what we're getting, right? But seeing the trailer automatically, everyone, I think, feels the same way, that it seems pretty much like it's time to line up the Oscars for this one, right? It seems like it's going to make its way that way. But did the trailer change my perspective? I think I'm going to stick with slightly. It seems that with the trailer, it makes sense that the Joker and Harley Quinn are in that fairy tale world amongst themselves with all the chaos surrounding them, right? For them, it's probably a musical. This is beautiful, all this chaos. And that's probably the perspective we're going to get. Do I like it? No, I think I don't want to see that. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say, look, I'm interested. More interested to see more Lady Gaga. I got to say, she does look good.
Yeah. Now, are you thinking it's a musical on their singing musical? Like you just said, like Hercules, like the Disney stuff, or is it just going to be musical like in the background, which we've kind of seen in the trailer with them like dancing or things happening?
Look, I hope it's that one, but dude, you have one of the best fucking pop artists. You think you're not going to make her sing, man? Come on. They got to be putting out. I know they said there's like 30 something songs, mostly being jukebox hits. I'm positive they're going to put out an original. You have Lady Gaga.
Zach, thoughts?
No. I didn't need the first one. The first one was dog shit. I don't care. I know you people out there love it, or some people do. You're fooling yourself. And this one looks as bad, if not worse. This is the lamest take on the Joker of all time. It's so pathetic, dude. Like, I can't stand it. Like, Joker in the comics is like a genius level intellect. Like, he gives Batman a run for his money. This dude is a, no pun intended, a joke, dude. I mean, and then it's all based on what he has this like disorder where he can't stop laughing. So now it's what he, it's so obnoxious. And I've talked about it multiple times about how I hate this idea of like justifying villains. There's no justifying the Joker. And I feel like that's what the first movie was. Like, well, watch out, this poor guy, he had a really hard life. And well, he has this disorder where he can't laugh and no one gets him. Everyone makes fun of him. Okay, yeah, cool. That totally makes up for spraying people in the face with acid and like doing all this horrible shit. Like, no, I don't care what your trauma is. Suck it up. Live life like a normal human being. You don't become the Joker. So I don't like the humanizing of the Joker. Yeah. I also don't like, I think it's a weird take. I'm actually kind of surprised DC's allowing this, because we've seen over the years this move of Harley from villain to hero, right? And she's straight up a hero now. It's not even an anti-hero anymore. Like, Harley to a hero. We've seen DC moving her that way. There's also a huge backlash about the dynamic, right? The toxic masculinity of the Joker and Harley in this relationship. And there was a huge backlash for that for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this movie is all about. It really seems like it's the Joker playing on her. And that's what it was, right? She was kind of a weaker influenced mind, and the Joker changed her. And I feel like that's what this is going. I couldn't be less interested in a movie. And I don't know, dude, like, another movie with no Batman and the Joker. Joker who weighs like 100 pounds and you could get punched through his chest. Like, come on, dude. Like, this is stupid.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, Zach. I've kind of, you know, they talked to Todd Phillips, and I remember him saying a long time ago, oh, there's, you know, I'm not going to do a sequel. And then, of course, I'm sure WB came calling with a ton of money and was like, let's do this. And he was like, again, what we always say, money talks, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day. And I've been a Batman fan for my entire life. And you're right. Like, this is not the Joker. The Joker didn't need a sequel. It was fine the way it ended. That's all we needed. We didn't need a Harley Quinn to add into this non-universe where there's no Batman, where there's no other, even a superhero, right? There's nothing. There's nobody else. I'm sure you're going to get maybe mentions, or you're going to see somebody like, oh,
some Wayne's or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, here's Jonathan Crane, or here's like, you know, Victor Freeze is like a doctor or whoever. Right.
Yeah.
But, and you may not, it may just be these two characters and Gotham City, but I'm going to see it. Obviously I support comic book movies. We always support everything that we, you know, obviously that we read about, whether it's animation, TV, and the movie stuff. So at the end of the day, like, I'm going to support it. I'm going to go see it. Will it win Oscars? It's probably going to, this may even change my mind, like, once it actually comes out. But to me right now, I don't really need this movie. There is more DC projects that should have been pushed.
Right.
There's things that should have been, you know, came out instead of canned, but this is what we're getting. And, you know, does anybody going to care? You know, like, it's going to be another movie and it's like an Elseworld story. That's basically where we're at with this.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that there's projects that should have come out, because today I actually saw the animated Batman Beyond. I don't know if you saw that. Now, I know we got some images not too long ago, but there was something.
Whoa. We did. Did you not see the thing with the Deftones?
yes, the Deftones. Yeah, exactly.
I was the one that dropped that to you.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're the one who shared it with me. Fuck. But yeah, man, dude, amazing, especially with Deftones. Exactly. Oh, like, why is this not a thing?
My brother sent it to me. He goes, dude, this is epic. And he's a huge Deftones fan. Yeah. I've called him Chino, everything. That's him. And he was just like, the Deftones song just does it for me. And I was like, yeah, pretty much does. Cause I saw the other version and I'm like, eh, but then you put Passenger in there and you're like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Dude. Exactly. Yeah. Deftones with anything. Deftones with everything too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And shout out to Paperweight, the podcast's favorite Canadian.
We don't have a favorite.
Yeah.
We don't have a favorite.
Well, you showed up. Remember, that was the deal. If you didn't show up, Paperweight would have been taking spots.
Look, and not to get like real negative, I'm going to be negative about this movie. Like Justin said, I will see it. But I do believe, I genuinely believe there is a part of the community out there that has like convinced themselves that the Joker, the first one, was like the best superhero movie of all time. And look, man, like, you know, preface it by saying, you know, the same thing is like, collect what you like what you like. And I mean, if you like it, honestly, like, as I'm hating on it, like, I don't judge you for liking it. That's you. We all like different stuff. So fair point. But I do feel like there is a part of, I feel like some of you guys out there had to convince yourself that you liked it because you were told that it was really good. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember watching it and being like, okay. Like, I mean, it wasn't horrible. By no means did I think it was a bad movie. I just felt like it was a movie I didn't need and a movie I didn't want. And I was just like, okay, like, I sat through the whole movie and like, okay. Like, I don't know. He wasn't the Joker, man. It wasn't the Joker. It was just some dude in clown makeup.
Yeah. Dude, I've said this several times on my show where whenever I take my wife to watch a comic movie, I've come to notice that if she loves the movie, it means it's a shitty movie. And she's hitting perfect scores, because Joker was one of them. Venom was another one. And I'm here we go.
Bad taste, dude.
So did you let her go see Aquaman? Because I'm sure, like, Jason Momoa being Jason Momoa.
No. We watched Aquaman 1. Obviously, the second one we totally skipped.
I liked that. Aquaman 2,
I
actually
loved it too.
I should have tested her with Madame Web. I should have.
Yeah. Do it for that. Watch that movie for that reason. That's the reason you'd watch Madame Web, right?
Yep.
Not Sydney Sweeney.
Oh.
Man.
Beautiful. Okay.
Well, Joker. We'll see what happens. I'm sure. Yeah. Like you guys said, oh, we'll get all these Oscars, and all the stands will come back out and be like, this is the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah. But dude, you know it's inevitable, especially with Gaga.
I'm sure it's gonna be there, but I guess we'll see what happens.
I believe the Oscars are like an actual, like, when people are winning based on merit, when it's like a legit award, then I'll give more stock to that and not just like a popularity contest or box checking contest. So the Oscars don't mean shit to me anyway. So, okay. Whew. A little bit of a rant there, man. You guys got me going with the Joker. Almost turned me into the Joker.
Jeez. Shit, dude.
But let's get into some articles. So, out of the bad, into the good. Let's do some X-Men talks. So we got two really cool X-Men news that came out from over here. First one's going to be from Marvel.com. We know that the X-Men era, Fall of X, is going on now. The next little era will be called From the Ashes. So set in the X-Men's upcoming From the Ashes era, a new X-Force ongoing series by Jeffrey Thorne and Marcus Toe begins this July. So you may have seen this. So there's a lot of talk about this new X-Force team. Obviously, X-Force has to always be around. There's always a need for X-Force. And this is a pretty interesting lineup. Little across the board here. It's going to be led by Forge, the mutant inventor. So accessing an Omega level degree of his unique and complex mutant power to build anything, Forge will bear witness to everything broken in the world. Luckily, he knows exactly who he'll need to repair it. So he brings to the team Rachel Summers, Betsy Braddock, Sage, Surge, and Tank. So this, the other thing about this team is it's going to kind of have a revolving door on like guest characters. And from X-Force, the cover issue, you see one of the first guest character is Deadpool, but he won't be a mainstay character moving forward.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't mind Deadpool and X-Force, but I mean,
oh no, he was great in the Remender run.
The Remender's the best, of course. Right. But, so yeah, it's cool concept. I'm pretty excited about this. I like the idea of Forge being the team leader. Forge really kind of got powered up in the Krakoa age. They really like leaned into his powers and gave him a little bit more. They even kind of talk about how he's right on the cusp of being an Omega level mutant, but like not quite. So even the description here kind of leans more towards that. But yeah, what do you guys think? What's your thoughts on the lineup here?
Orange. I mean, I'm not a big fan of most of the characters. You know, I don't really follow too much on the whole X-Men side, but I'm interested, you know, definitely with Rachel and Betsy on there. I don't really know Sage, Surge, and Turk too much, but you know, with what you know, what we've seen in X-Men Animated, and then like you said, like even what was going on in the Krakoa age, you know, I think Forge has been a cool character throughout his, you know, throughout the Marvel Comics history, right? And he's someone that is, yeah, he does kind of toe that line close to like the Omega level, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they can bring in the X-Force, and they're always a changing team, you know, like the old school 90s X-Force. You had the Rick Remender stuff. You did the Craig Yost stuff. The most recent run that just ended, which, you know, you said was kind of like
Benjamin Percy run.
Yeah, it was just like it again. It's written by great people, but as far as like remembering it, right? Like I think more people remember the 90s and the Remender stuff. But with this team and, you know, what they're going to do with it, I think with everything that's coming out with all the X-Men stuff, I think this could be a cool title on, you know, a good ongoing title for X-Force. I'm definitely interested on the lineup.
BC?
Yeah, no, I think you guys hit on some solid points. I think what surprised me with the announcement is how female heavy this roster is. I don't think I've ever seen an X-Force lineup stacked with women. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. The Betsy Braddock one, actually, that one surprised me. I was like, man, okay.
So that's actually probably my biggest gripe with this lineup is they kind of ruined Betsy Braddock in the Krakoa age. Yeah. So for people who aren't familiar, you had Betsy going back to her original body, the British body. Revanche Quanin is now the Asian version who goes by the title Psylocke. And so she's more the original, kind of like what Psylocke was. And now you have Betsy Braddock. And then they made Betsy Captain Britain for a really long time, which was kind of, honestly, very uninteresting, and her solo titles were bad. And then, like, look, this isn't a like a woke rant. This is a bad writing rant. Yep. Then out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, in like the next run, the Captain Britain run, all of a sudden Rachel Summers and Betsy Braddock were girlfriends. There was no lead up to this. There was no like budding romance. It was just like issue one. Guess what? These really old friends are now lesbians. And it's just like, why? There's no story. It didn't lend anything to it. And then you found like the issues being in that Captain Britain run, like it was really bad. And then it was like more about their relationship than anything else. And it's like, come on, dude, no one's reading these comics about like relationships. So I don't know, dude, I wasn't too happy to see her on the team. And I much rather would have seen Psylocke on the team. And when I also noticed Rachel Summers on it, I'm a little wary. We'll see what happens with that. But
and when's it coming out?
That comes out on sale July 31st.
Okay. So right around the same time as like Uncanny and regular X-Men are going to be dropping too. Yeah. Nice.
Right, right. So
summer's going to be packed with X-Men titles, man.
Yeah, that's, dude, it's a good segue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the year of X-Men. But I do agree, man. I really like, you know, that, you know, you got Forge here, which is pretty...
Oh, Forge is badass, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, it's more or less the same, right? We've seen many X-Forces with lineups where you have, let's say, the one or two guys on it and then multiple females. And again, I'm not saying this on a sexist standpoint or anything. Don't take it that way. But it's just the characters that were selected. I was actually really surprised. Yeah. I was like, wow, okay, this is cool.
I mean, I've always said it. The X-Men write female characters the best out of almost any superhero title in comic, like the comic world. X-Men have always done female the best.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a segue. Like Justin said, you have the flagship title of X-Men coming out. You got Uncanny X-Men coming out. You have Exceptional X-Men coming out. And then with this, X-Force. And then the next article we're getting into is the Phoenix series that's coming out, which just kind of got, it was rumored and it officially got announced. Phoenix X-Men series by Stephanie Phillips and Alessandro Miracolo. So that's coming out in July also. And this has actually got a really interesting take. Let me find the quote that Stephanie Phillips says. So she goes on to talk about it and she says, I'm finding this. She's
right under the photo. Yeah.
She is one of the most powerful characters I've ever written, Phillips explained. The beauty and challenge to Jean is that she is imbued with cosmic force alongside the morals, shortcomings, and empathy of a human being. The dichotomy between those two is something incredibly special about Jean. It means that she is constantly doing a dance between humanity and absolute power. So that dance is what we hope to have on full display in this story. A cosmic ballet that shows how beautiful the Phoenix Force can be when working in tandem with Jean Grey. And let me assure you, Alessandro Miracolo has made that cosmic dance look absolutely gorgeous. So it's really going to kind of tie in. I guess the story is after what we've seen with the Krakoa, with Jean kind of dying at the gala, and we've seen in the Rise of Powers of X and X-Men Forever, Jean's kind of in the white hot room and sort of putting herself together, but she's going to kind of go into outer space. So the story kind of starts with her receiving like an SOS from Nova that brings her to the edge of a black hole where hundreds of lives hang in the balance. And whatever Jean does or fails to do will bring darkness to the universe and haunt her in ways she can scarcely imagine. So
damn.
I think this is pretty powerful, man. Like I think a Jean solo title, they've always done little mini series, but you could have a really strong ongoing solo with Jean. She's a strong, strong character.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. You got Stephanie Phillips, great writer.
Right.
You know, female writer. She's written like Spider-Gwen. She's written Black Widow. Tons Grimm. Of stuff. Harley. The Grimm, yeah, there's just so much, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that, yeah, you have, and again, we're talking about another Omega level mutant. And you're right. Like that last mini series that she had, like, what was it, like 5 issues or something?
Yeah.
She's not the type of character that can do a 5 issue. She's a mainstay X-Men. She's a powerful mutant. She's a powerful Marvel character. So yeah, let's give her an ongoing title. She's someone who needs an ongoing title out of the norm of, you know, bogged down with all the other mutants and all the other teams. Give it to her. I really like this article that you found, and I think this is going to be an awesome title moving forward. And I'm super excited to see what happens where Jean can go with the Phoenix Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you guys, man. Again, all solid points. And the fact that she's getting an ongoing, definitely deserving, man, because it is not somebody that, look, especially after how everything ended, right, for Jean, like how do you want to wrap this up in 5 issues, right? So it's great that she's coming back doing an ongoing. One thing, though, I do want to shout out is Putri's cover is fucking awesome. I don't know if you guys...
Jasmine, yeah.
Yeah, dude, really it's nice. So good. But I'm excited about this. Especially, I want to forget the whole Echo stuff. It was actually good, like slightly. I want to say slightly.
Oh, but... the Echo is Phoenix.
I guess yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Did you guys enjoy that?
I mean, it was a decent take, but it kind of didn't go like everything with Marvel. It feels like it fizzled. Like I remember when they announced, I was like, "Oh, this is interesting. Let's see." Because it is kind of also, you know, you got the Phoenix Force, right? And it's always, it doesn't matter who it is. It's always Jean Grey, right? But like, when you have the Phoenix Force go to other people, even when you had the Phoenix Five, that was pretty cool. You've had the Phoenix Force go to like Wolverine and different odd stories here and there and like different characters. And it's always relatively cool. And to see Echo was very much a change, right? Because typically mutants. And so I was excited about that, but I thought I kind of fizzled.
Exactly, man. I remember reading it and getting to about, I think it was issue 3, and I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm done. And it was a mini, right? I think it stopped at like 5 or something like
that. Yeah. Echo Song, I think it was Phoenix Echo Song, and then but she was also the Phoenix in like the Avengers run and Jason Aaron's run for like
and which
the majority of the run.
There I found she actually shined, right?
Yeah, but it was better for sure.
In the mini, it was whatever. But yes, back to the X-Men. It is definitely the summer. I think we can say 2024 is the year of X-Men. We even have Nyx. I don't know if you guys saw that.
That's coming. Yeah, that's coming out too. I think the team I saw there is Anoli, looked like Prodigy, X-23.
Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, Ms. Marvel and, the main Kaden, the girl from Nyx. Nyx, NYX, what do you want to call it? Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. That original run's not very good. I mean, it's only really known for X-23's, like, you know,
exactly.
Breakout. Yeah, the rest and Middleton's art. Good. That's literally all you got.
Yeah, it's not very, like, it's not bad. It's just not, like, notable.
That's why it's literally such a low print run, book. Yeah. And the book is so expensive because it was just like, oh, they came out with this character and she was in an animated show and and now it's on, like, it was not in a mainstay, you know, X-Men book,
right? The way that really off the radar.
And that's exactly why it's so low print, right? No one cared at that point.
Dude, I think, you know, with the success that you're seeing with X-Men 97 and obviously in these first 5 episodes, Magneto and Jean are primary story characters, right? It really seems like that's where the story is following, is those two characters the most so far. So, I mean, this is a perfect time, you know, lean heavy into the Jean Grey stuff and honestly kind of get away, like Justin said, like kind of get her out of the X-Men, kind of get her in the universe and doing something else where it's not constantly like, oh, what's your relationship with Scott? You know, oh, check out my clone, like the Phoenix Force. Even like the battle with the Phoenix Force and the Dark Phoenix stuff, like, this will be good if they don't bring Dark Phoenix into it. Like, we have to move on from that, right? It's kind of like you can't keep having Phoenix's story always being tied to, like, don't piss her off, she might become Dark Phoenix or something like that. Like, move past that. So
we'll see. I think this is their opportunity to do that. So we'll see.
Yeah. Cool. Justin, what do you got for us?
Let's switch out of the Marvel stuff and get into some indie stuff. So over at bleedingcool.com, this actually just got posted on Wednesday. So Jeff Lemire, a great writer, is also writing and drawing a new comic book for Boom Studios. So if you don't know Jeff Lemire from stuff like Sweet Tooth, Descender, Black Hammer, and Royal City, has announced his next comic will be published by Boom Studios. He's obviously, like I said, writing and drawing it. It's his first ongoing that's going to be what's getting to say as lengthiest since Sweet Tooth. So normally when he does a lot of these books, they're usually shorter, but this one is going to be long, as he says. Boom Studios is excited to actually have this, of course, with Jeff Lemire. He posted in a recent newsletter, apologies for being radio silent for the last few months. I made some grand proclamations about the new Royal City, which is also getting a sequel, and regular updates to this newsletter in his most recent posting, but obviously that didn't happen. The truth that is, I've been hard at work at a new project and we don't know what this project is, but like I said, it's going to be all involved in a very long ongoing series. So it's going to be coming out in the fall of 2024, ongoing series from the Boom Studios. So another quote from here says, for a while now I've felt like the ongoing series is dying in comics, and that's actually true, because you know, we just had, like, he had Little Monsters, maybe 12 issues. It's a lot of stuff in the Image world.
He had Gideon Falls was pretty long. It was about 30 issues.
Yeah,
but 30. I mean, what was Sweet Tooth was like over 50.
I think it was 40. Okay, I think it was 40 issues. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, same length and But I think like Once in Future, right? That's like another ongoing, and that was like 30 issues, right? It's like 30, 35.
Yeah, I was
like
30.
That. Yeah,
but I mean, that wasn't him. But you know.
No, that wasn't him. But I'm thinking of like independent ongoings, you know.
Oh, no, I completely understand. So, you know, and back in 2023, he announced saying that Royal City is coming back in 2023, but obviously we haven't really seen anything. But there is a volume 2 tease calling volume 2, The Last Days of Richie Pike, if anybody's read the Royal City. I have not read that, even though I love Lemire stuff. Obviously, I was a big fan of Descender, The Sweet Tooth, Little Monsters, among some other stuff. But yeah, so what we know, Jeff Lemire going to do both, you know, the writing and drawing side, and that's a lot. If he says he's going to do a long ongoing series, you know, this is you're going to start now.
Yeah.
You're going to do this in 2024. And we know most indie books only really get 12 issues out a year because they typically do like 5 or 6 issues and then they take that break because they'll have a trade. Or so, I mean, maybe we'll get a 10, maybe 11 in 1 year, but that's, you know, we're talking at least we're going to maybe push it into like 2030. Like this series is still going to be happening in like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
If we looked at it the way Jeff's talking about it. So, you know, what do we got? BC, fan of Jeff stuff? What do you think?
I am. And it might come to some surprise here, but I actually only started to really dip into Jeff Lemire stuff because my first introduction to him wasn't even Sweet Tooth or anything prior to that. It was actually Thanos. That's where I started to get into his stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, this is fucking awesome. Where do I end up? Moon Knight. Right? So started going down to check out all his stuff. Gideon Falls was pretty good. I didn't finish it. I got a couple issues in, but yeah, no, I'm excited, dude. The more the better, right? And especially on an ongoing, I want to see more comics following suit, right? Like a lot of times, like we were just talking about, look at Marvel, right? Majority of Marvel's books right now are all mini series, or they end up hitting a milestone issue at 25 issues and oh, we're giving you number one again, right? So it's always the same thing. I do want to see somebody committed to that, you know, to a project and pumping out as many copies of, as many issues as possible, right? I hate when we switch writers halfway into something and so forth.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I love Lemire kind of in everything he's done, right? I mean, when he used to do like even the superhero stuff, which he hasn't done in a long time. Like, I love the Justice League Dark stuff. His Green Arrow stuff was amazing.
You know, I never read that. I swear.
Really God. Good. Yeah. So good.
Even the one shot, I don't know why it stuck out to me, but maybe because I did Blackest Night was kind of when I got into DC, but he did the Brightest Day one shot for the Atom. It's so good. It's just a one shot issue. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really badass for a character I'm not really like a massive fan of. But I'm excited about this mainly because it's Boom Studios, right? And like when I think of comics and I think of like if genres, right? I do think maybe it's probably because like Something Is Killing the Children and titles like that, Boom kind of lends heavier to like, it seems like a little bit more horror, right?
Yeah.
I know Image dabbles. Like Gideon Falls was kind of horror for sure. Supernatural horror for sure.
Yeah.
And I think Lemire lends that way. So like, I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm reading Fish Flies right now, which is pretty interesting. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like this best work of all time, but it's cool. It's classic Lemire. He's just a wild guy. Like I'm pumped. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, we know nothing. So
yeah, exactly. I'm waiting to hear now what this project is going to be about. Right.
Right. I'll tell you right now. I'll be picking it up no matter what. I'll be checking it out. I don't care if he tells me it's about the Joker movie. It's Joker 2 adaptation. I'm probably picking it up straight up.
Oh God. So yeah, check it out this fall. We don't know, but maybe we'll get an announcement. Obviously, in the coming months or over the summer at San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. Sweet. So let's get into something I know Justin's super excited to talk about. Something got announced. Well, we kind of all knew it was coming, but we got the official announcement.
Justin. Yeah. So, I mean, let's, you know, we'll briefly talk on some stuff. So CinemaCon's happening this this week. You know, we dabbled into it last year. We, you know, obviously with all the announcements, DC, Disney went up today. They had, you know, they showed off their timeline. There's some stuff with, obviously all the Marvel, the Deadpool, their Pixar stuff. But today, announcement, and we kind of knew that this was coming over at Deadline, Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie made official by Paramount. We all know this was coming as indicated in the coda of last summer's Transformers Rise of the Beast, but the G.I. Joe team and Transformers are getting together for a new feature film at Paramount. Not much is spoken. Steven Spielberg is executive producing the new film, which I like Steven Spielberg, and I think he's he's done some movies, right? Yeah, I feel like he's done some good stuff.
He's got some wins under his belt.
Yeah. No filmmaker attached yet, despite the idea being hatched by filmmaker Stephen Caple Jr. in Rise of the Beast. So what they've said is obviously with Transformers being a big success, closing in over $439 million worldwide, more than Disney's other franchise of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which only did $338 million. You know, Transformers could be returning in a big way, obviously, with the G.I. Joe crossover. So, like I said, CinemaCon going on right now in Las Vegas. And this is huge news because I was totally blown away by when I remember seeing it in Rise of the Beast. Like, did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
We got the Void Rivals. We got the Energon Universe. Both of those titles have been absolutely amazing in the comic book world. And now we're finally going to get this in live action. And we've seen this multiple times throughout multiple different companies have done crossovers. Marvel, Dreamwave, Image. We've seen G.I. Joe versus Transformers in many iterations. But now to have a live action is going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very interesting because you have, I mean, I don't want to say Transformers has been a troublesome like series to have in the movies. Obviously there's an issue with like canon, right? And like the storyline and what movies they want to ignore and what movies they want to keep. But for the most part, Transformers has been successful as a series in the movies. And obviously G.I. Joe kind of really wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool to kind of merge them. I think for a while I wasn't really sold on the idea, and I definitely am now with like the Energon universe.
Yeah.
Because now I'm seeing that there is an avenue here that you can like kind of do this and make good storytelling and merge these two rather than just be like, hey, we got Transformers. Hey, we got G.I. Joe's fight, you know? I think there's like, there is an avenue, and I hope they're reaching out to like, you know, the Energon universe guys and being like, hey, what should we do? You know, I want to know also, well, I want to hear BC's opinion as well, but I do want to know, Justin, do you want like a reset, hard reset? Like everything else is gone. All those past Transformers movies gone, start anew.
Well, I think the Michael Bay stuff is kind of gone. You know, Bumblebee and Transformers have been, this is the new regime.
Yeah.
And they also announced the animated movie that's coming out in September as well, which we kind of knew about. I think we talked about Transformers 1, which is an origin story. That's kind of, again, it's animated. I think it's going to be like a prequel just straight to Bumblebee. I think there were some high level names attached to it that when we talked about it last year. But again, it's, you figure Rise of the Beast was in the 90s. They just were setting up like, well, what we knew was just setting up G.I. Joe at that time. So whether this takes place in the later 90s or early 2000s, I'm fine where they're at. You know, they know about the robots, and that's kind of like what we know in the Energon universe, right? Like they know about these big robots. They're finding this Energon stuff. They don't know what it does. Everybody's using it for different things. That's a movie in itself, right?
Right.
It's like you said, it's like, let's not just take two franchises and pit them against each other. It's not like King Kong versus Godzilla. We know that's easily doable, but like this is two different types. You got these giant space robots and humans. You can't just put them in a movie and be like, let them fight.
Yeah, just squash them. Like, I don't know how the humans ever win. Like, I don't care if it's Duke and Snake Eyes. Like, Snake Eyes is so screwed against any Transformer. Yeah. Bro, I'll be honest. Like,
BC, thoughts?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Snake Eyes, man, because what I want to say is that I'm excited to see this. The fan in me is excited. Transformers, we all grew up off it. The Michael Bay stuff, surprisingly, I actually enjoyed it. I liked it with Shia LaBeouf. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, which movie was it when Optimus dies? Was it the third one?
Second one.
The second one?
Revenge of the Fallen, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being in the theater and I was sitting next to some random dude that was just bawling his eyes out. He was crying when Optimus died. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was just looking at him like, are you seriously crying right now? And then meanwhile, here I am watching X-Men 97 episode 5 crying. But anyways, I want to say, yes, I would prefer a full reset. Although we're not going to get it, right? Because we saw, you know, post-credits scene, G.I. Joe stuff. Snake Eyes, what was that movie? Dude, come on. Like, if we get anything close to what we've previously gotten, I have no hopes. And to be honest with you, Rise of the Beast was horrible. I didn't like it at all, dude. It was enjoyable as a popcorn movie. Like, if you're bored, you're flipping the channels, and, oh, okay, it's on, I'll watch it. But to say it was a good movie, ugh. Like, I was disappointed. It didn't feel like Beast Wars to me, right? Like, that's what I wanted. I wanted to see Beast Wars.
We all want to see like the true Beast Wars.
Exactly.
Exactly. Do you feel like BC's being an influencer who's just like a yes guy? Because he's liked everything we've talked about tonight. He's had nothing negative to say.
Dude, don't you know on the Comic-Con podcast you have to be negative?
Like, yeah, yeah. We got to roast everything.
I was surprised he finally said something big when he was like, I didn't really like Rise of the Beast. I was waiting for him to just say, I love everything.
No, absolutely not. Dude, it was horseshit. And I remember when it came out, I was messaging everybody that I know was a Transformers fan. And I believe we had that conversation as well. I was just like, dude,
yeah,
that did not feel anywhere close to Beast Wars. And we all know, especially our brother Newbie, was probably disappointed with Cheetor.
Oh, yeah. And Waspinator.
Yeah, Waspinator. There you go, Waspinator.
I will say this about the last two Transformers movies, both Bumblebee and Rise of the Beast. I think the strongest aspect about those two movies was they finally, and they didn't do it to what they should have done it to, but they were in the right direction. They actually gave their villains in those movies more role and more agency than they had in the previous ones. Like in the previous ones, you had Megatron and you barely had Starscream. And then all the rest of them were just like throwaway villains. But I want to say, and this might not even be the best movie, I know Justin probably loves this one the most because Haley's in it, but Bumblebee did villains the best out of every single one of the movies. Like, I can't remember which Decepticons it was, but they actually had agency. They actually had roles. There was multiple of them, and you got personality from them rather than just being like, oh, I'm an evil robot, you know, like at the beck and call of Megatron. But those are the two things I liked the most about those. This new iteration of Transformers was the actual like villains.
And we still haven't seen really Megatron.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's the cool thing too, is that they've really never shown him, you know, even when you got the Cybertron war in Bumblebee.
Yeah.
You didn't see him.
I still
haven't seen him.
Dude, I think the timing sucks though, just because like in comics, look at how we're at such an amazing point for Transformers, G.I. Joe, like dude, Energon universe, if they could adapt that, dude, they'd be hitting home runs, but it's just way too early for them to do that, right? There's not enough story comic-wise.
I don't know.
That's what I want to see.
It could be both. I mean, you're really getting a rise right now off the Energon universe. Like there's no one really talking negative about it. So if you were to really like do this, this is probably the time. I think the fear though should be that Energon universe keeps being awesome and then these movies don't hold up to it. And is that going to reflect back on, I mean, because it does work both ways. A shitty movie can reflect back on a comic book title, so that could be a concern that they should have. So let's hope they, the thing is too, it's the same with the X-Men, it's the same with all these big properties with like tons of characters, right? You gotta keep, and that's what Energon's doing so good with Transformers and G.I. Joe. Justin and I talked about it all the time, is they're keeping it really small, right? A really small core. Here's three or four characters. We don't need the whole library of dudes. That's what you got to do and make it character driven, in my opinion. So, and no Bumblebee.
Yeah. And that was a good thing that they did with Rise of the Beast. They shifted it, right? They didn't stick with Bumblebee every movie. They shifted it to Jazz. And yeah, Bumblebee's there, but he's not the main character. And I feel like that's a good way to, you could do another movie, even if it's not the crossover, and give him somebody else. Like there's tons of individual Transformers that in the G1 stuff are cool characters that kind of get enough mainstay. Like, right? Like in the comics, we have
Cliffjumper. Ratchet and Cliffjumper. Yeah. Awesome. Dude, Jazz is so cool. When they killed Jazz in the first Transformers movie, I was so pissed, dude. Mm-hmm. I was like, really?
Oh, Mirage was in the, that was, it was Mirage in this movie. I forgot.
Mirage.
Yeah, I said Jazz.
But regardless, you're right about Jazz too. Like, you're right about Jazz. Right now you've got Cliffjumper, Ratchet, Wheeljack, RC, and Optimus. Mm-hmm. Those are the only ones you got. And then, yeah.
There's some in episode issue 7 that
there's a couple guys
totally bought it.
Yikes.
Totally bought it.
Yeah, but they weren't very cool either.
I love Huffer.
You like Huffer?
But I loved Huffer as a kid.
I'm a bit of a Cup fan. I will say I do like Cup, but
Huffer was cool. I remember there was the one episode, and now we're gonna change subjects. So the one episode where like Optimus fights Megatron and Megatron beats him because he gets himself powered up by all the other Decepticons, and like Optimus transforms. He's like ready to pull the trailer on him, and Hover's like, "Hey, Prime, I'll take the load off you." So like the big giant trailer goes on the back of Hover, and Hover's driving that. It's just like such a cool thing. Like this little tiny guy still is like going to take the weight of the trailer. It was just, that's like so old school G1. Wow.
Well, cool stuff. And then last and final, before we get into what we're currently reading, there's obviously other news about the live action TMNT Last Ronin movie coming out. Everyone's kind of been talking about that. We're not going to really get into it. I think we all kind of agree it would be really cool. Rated R, Last Ronin. But yeah, you know, look up some articles on that. But due to time, we're going to kind of move past that one. But yeah, so let's get into what we are currently reading before we close this out. BC, you want to start it off?
Yeah, man. So from this week's New Comic Book Day, two that I've read a few books. I haven't finished my entire pile because it's pretty big, but of this,
she said,
yeah, exactly. Of the reads so far this week, Edge of Spider-Verse 3. Look, I'll be honest with you. Some of these characters don't stick. Like, we've seen so many characters, these new spider characters, it's just not working for me. Star Spider, pretty interesting, not too bad. I will say that the character Percy Parker looks a lot like Riri Williams from the MCU, so I got that vibe. But yeah, man, it was an okay read. I think so far my favorite read of the week is actually Rat City 1. Dude,
That's a Spawn title, right?
Yeah. Did you guys have a chance to read it yet?
I did read about it, and I do want to talk about it with you. So let's go.
Yeah,
I loved it, dude. It started because look, we all know this is a future version of Spawn, right? Like, we're getting a 2099-esque version of Spawn. The issue started pretty intense. It was action-packed with like soldiers tearing shit up, which was cool. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. So instant action. And then after, on their way out from whatever they were doing, you just see the tanks, well, the trucks that they're escaping from explode, and the guy loses his legs. Now there's many people dead around him, but this guy loses his legs, and that guy, we learn rather quickly, ends up becoming Spawn by the end of the issue. His name's Peter Karen, something like that. But it was a very fun issue. Look, I'm not the biggest Spawn guy, to be honest with you. Like, I've read Spawn, but like to say I'm up to date on absolutely everything, no. I will say they reeled me back in as of 350 with the whole She Spawn Nyx thing going on. So I thought this is cool so far. But Rat City 1, I thought it was very good, man. So I'm definitely going to pick up number 2. They actually put out the second print design variant today. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I hate design variants. I think they suck. This one kicks ass. It's actually really nice.
I didn't like it. You know what? It's too copy and paste. And I get it. That's like the idea. You do the copy and paste thing for like a 2099 character. But there is something interesting that happens in the book. And I guess this is why, again, we're not big Spawn fans, but like the reason he gets his powers, which we don't see yet, right? Yeah. Is because Spawn does something in 2019 that reverberates through the time stream or whatever.
Yep.
And like that's how he is going to get the powers of Spawn. So
but it's a weird way, eh?
Yeah, it's a weird way. It's, you know, and I get it. But again, it's copy and paste where, all right, he's a military guy and now he's going to be Spawn. And he's going to be like the Batman Beyond of Spawn.
Basically. But it felt like a mix of like Batman Beyond with Flash Thompson.
Because he doesn't have his legs. But yeah, it was all right.
Dude, you just boiled down Flash to just like not having legs. That's like a defining characteristic.
Well, he's not having legs and he's a military guy. It's like Flash is great.
Bully.
That too, but no, but Flash has been a great Venom and an anti-Venom.
Yes.
So
yes.
All right, that's it. What else is there? Anything else you got reading this week?
Like I said, I still got to finish the pile. I'm still behind on even last week's books, man. Like, it's been chaos here, but getting through the pile.
All right,
Nimmy P.
Right. Sorry,
Nimmy P. You're up.
Nimmy P. Oh Jesus, this was a huge week. You know what? There was a lot of books to be read, and I would say half of them were not great. And half of them were better than normal. You've already talked about Rat City. You've already talked about Edge of Spider-Verse, two books that I did not like. We're going to go right with another hot garbage. And I don't know if you read it, but oh God, Ultimate X-Men number 2.
No, I'm not reading that.
Oh, okay. It is
after one. I just
It's just not. Listen, it's not the X-Men, and I love like I talked about this in the first one. I love anime. I love, you know, a lot of the Japanese style, but this is not the X-Men. Like, again, you have the character Armor in there, and she's introduced to this new, you know, version of Storm. There's still nothing about a team. Like, it's just not the way you put in the X-Men into the Ultimate Universe. It's just not the way you're doing it right. And it just still doesn't go anywhere other than the introduction. And she's like, oh, you have powers too. Like, what are they?
Of Maystorm.
Huh?
It was of Maystorm, the introduction?
Yeah, Maystorm, yeah. So, like, everyone's, you know, going crazy, obviously, because it, but it's not, it was just a terrible issue. See what I really want to talk about. Another one that I was kind of disappointed on, Thundercats 3.
No, I haven't read that one yet.
Okay, so I'm kind of, I get the nostalgic feel. I still cannot get past, they're ruining characters, I'm telling you. I still can't get past the mustache on...
I'm not crazy about that mustache on Panthera. Tigra.
On Tigra.
Yeah.
But now they finally introduce Snarf, and he looks like a Pokemon. Like, he doesn't look like a cat.
No.
But he has this cool, he does have this interesting thing. So obviously we all know Snarf. You know, Snarf.
Does he do that in the comics too?
He does that in the comics, and he, you know, but like,
wait, what's it like? Do it again.
Snarf.
Nailed it.
I love it, dude. I love Snarf. He's awesome. But like, the problem with Snarf is that in the cartoon and even in the old comics, like, everybody understood him and he talked. But in this, they actually change it up, and I kind of like this. So like, him and Lino actually have like some bond where only Lino can understand him.
Okay.
But he still speaks in snarf. He doesn't, like, it's not, the word bubbles are not like how you would talk.
Yeah.
He just says, oh, Snarf says this. And like, people are supposed to be able to like agree with him. It's like, you know, so it's just a little strange. I like the idea, but I didn't like how like nobody else could understand him. Obviously, of the new, in the last issue, had that first appearance of that new, Thundercat, that's kind of, they think it's evil. You get the first appearance, I wouldn't really call it the first appearance, but like first appearance of the Monkey Men. So like, the mutants are in there, and we're gonna kind of see where it goes. But yeah, I feel like this is kind of not lending in the right direction for me, especially with the character designs for some of them. So next up, and I know, Zach, do you want to do the High Republic? You want to take the High Republic?
I mean, I'll join and have the conversation with you. That was the book I wanted you to read.
Okay. So Zach says to me today, or it was yesterday or today, and he goes, he's like, you got to read Star Wars this week. And I go, all right, well, I think there's only two titles. So it's Darth Vader and High Republic.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying this volume of High Republic Phase 3, right? I wasn't a big fan of Phase 2, but I read it. I got through it. Didn't read the novels like I did in the first phases. So if things that I've missed,
it's just too much.
Let's just say if I missed anything, I'm going to take back what I say about this issue. But, you know, again, I like the last issue because what they did was they brought in a character from Phase 2 many, many years later. So he's older. His, like, not story, but his origin in this High Republic 6 was pretty awesome. Like, how he kind of went bad against the council in a way, and they kind of kicked him out. But then there's this two panel page of these two characters from Phase 2, and they just make out. And it's just like, wait a second. You have these two gay Jedi that in all of Phase 2, they had nothing, right?
Right. Okay, that was going to be my question.
Thrown in there.
There was nothing, right, in Phase 2?
Again, and like I said, I've only read the comics. If it happens, if there's any type of love interest or anything that's in the novels, I apologize. But like, you can't just like, it's like in the middle of the book, it's just two quick panels. These two Jedi Masters just like, kiss it out, and then it goes back to like current times. Yeah. But there was like no setup. There was nothing that there was any interest in these characters in all of Phase 2, and their main characters in the entire phases. So it's like very strange to read this, and then just to see that it's almost like just throwing it in there for
it's a box check.
Yeah,
it's like what I was saying about, like, it's exactly how I felt, and I literally thought this when I read it. It's exactly how I felt when Rachel Summers and Betsy Braddock, and it was like out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they're together. And like, once again, like, not trying to come off, and I know you're not either, not like homophobic. It's just, it's all about, what does this lend to the story? This doesn't lend anything to the story, because in the issue, it implies, I don't, as everyone will know, it implies that the Jedi that he's with is long gone. He's dead and he's kind of on his own now. So there's really no, like, you could have played it any way, whether it was a love interest, whether we were best friends, whether it was his mentor, right? To blend this like connection, right? But there was no, that relationship, as far as we've seen so far, like you said, it could be more in the novels and it could be more coming forward that maybe will lend more to this, but it just is so, it's obnoxious. There's no better word than obnoxious. I feel like it's, you throw it in there just to throw it in there. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's so, it's like, why, dude? Like, why do you have to do this? And then, you know, you want to know what my real thought was when I read this is with this is, when was the last time you saw a heterosexual couple kiss in comics? Can you actually think of that?
The Jedi's, well, especially like Star Wars, that's like never.
Never in Star Wars. And Marvel, you don't see, like, it's not like you see Rogue and Gambit very, very rarely. Maybe Batman and Catwoman occasionally here and there. Like, I just don't think you're seeing this at the same rate as you are. And it's just like, I don't know, man.
It was really strange because the story is so good, right?
So good.
He has like this Sith weapon that, you know, he used in the past, and, you know, they talk about the council and kicking him out. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of spoiling it because I'm sure not everybody's going to read it. Or if you have read it, you know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden it's just like, you turn the page and it's like two quick panels and the two main characters from phase two are just kissing. And then immediately the third panel goes back to the present day. There's no explanation. It's just there for you to like, oh, okay.
Box check.
Yeah. It was really odd. So that's that. I mean, I could go all day with tons of books. I'm just going to kind of run through them. Obviously, you may talk about it. Wolverine 47 was absolutely amazing again this week. X-23. I did like Magneto, Resurrection of Magneto number 4. Really cool.
Strong, yeah,
dude, the way he kills those guys.
Damn.
Yeah, damn. Oh, yeah, damn. That's all I'm going to say.
Carnage number... the dude on the next panel?
Oh. Carnage number 6 was another solid issue, of course, by Torn. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Return number 3 was again solid. We get a really, really cool, like, oh man, it's just so good. Like, I can't say it enough. And I feel like it's every issue that's coming out. I don't read a lot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, but I was old, like generation one. So like all these characters, the way they're doing the story is really interesting. There's a very big family aspect around this storyline as well. So I think Amy Jo is doing a great job with how she's writing this and what's going on with the Rangers. But I would say pick of the week, and I'm going to give it a pick of the week, but I'm also going to kind of give it, like, it feels very similar to other books. Uncanny Valley number 1 from Tony Fleeks. Mm-hmm. So storyline is, there's this 12-year-old kid, and it's him and his mom, and he kind of has like, he's getting in trouble at school, like doing these things like starting fires and like, you know, jumping over benches and this and that, like stuff to get you like suspended or expelled or whatever. So eventually he gets like 3 strikes. They kind of kick him out of school, but he has like these, in the previews, it's like he has like these abilities. All of a sudden finds out that these crows come and they're like, take the boy. And it's like the crows are actually talking. So it's like almost like a Percy Jackson type of thing, like where he's, mm-hmm. like a demigod. But of course what happens is it's all like cartoon stuff. So like his grandfather is like a Yosemite Sam looking guy and his mom's got powers, but we don't see them. There's this whole thing where he kind of, it's, and then almost has like a Looney Tunes type of thing because like his grandfather tells him to run. And then he does like the Looney Tunes, like run, like
the peel out.
Yeah. Like the peel out thing. Exactly. So I feel like it's an interesting story, but I feel like it's also part crossover, part something epic, you know, and I feel like that's kind of where we're leading is more of these stories. Like, I love Something Epic. I think that's just been an amazing story. But I do like this Uncanny Valley. I like it's a change. It's a kid instead of like a, you know, an adult. And obviously you get all different types of versions of characters, which I'm sure you're going to see. And again, it's also leading into like a little bit of the Percy Jackson thing, because it's got like these something... he has, people are after him. So he's got something going on, like origin. So that is my pick of the week for Uncanny Valley number 1.
Cool. Nice. Cool. I'll keep mine kind of short. I had some hot garbage. It's not hot garbage, man, but like I was pretty excited for the new Incredible Hulk run. This whole like idea of like the monster era, yeah. So mm-hmm. to speak, of it. And it started off pretty strong. I wouldn't say it started off like amazing, but it started off pretty strong. And honestly, I find myself just like struggling with the book like every week now, just kind of being like, oh man, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping it ends at like, you know, a short, it's at issue 11 now. I feel like let's wrap it up and let's move on. I'm close. If I was a quitter, the problem is I can never just stop reading something, unfortunately, but I kind of would. If I could, I would probably stop reading this title. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just not crazy about the Hulk right now. Maybe it's just this one little character arc that just happened, but I don't know. Not great.
Dude, I thought it was solid out the gate up until the Ghost Rider stuff.
So I'm a Ghost Rider fan, so I enjoyed the Ghost Rider. It wasn't awesome, but like, it was cool. But this like, what's her name? Frozen Mary or Frozen Charlotte or whatever. I mean, the twist at the end, like having a connection with Lucifer and Lucifer kind of showing up was kind of cool, but not enough to save the past two or three issues, in my opinion. But yeah, well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only person who's kind of feeling this way. It's a little lackluster.
It's on a dip.
Yeah. I messed up. One of the strongest titles right now is Green Lantern. And I'm out of the game with the move and everything, and I accidentally picked up last week's issue, which now I have two issues of issue 9, which is super annoying. And I didn't get issue 10, but I'm telling you, Green Lantern's so good right now. So I was really bummed when I got home and I got to like the second page and I was like, I've read this. What's happening here? Like, I was like, no. And I looked back and looked at issue 10 and I'm holding 9. So, I don't know if it's good this week, but pick it up because it's been a great run so far. But my pick of the week, I finally caught up on it. I read the first one. They were giving it out like DCBS, if you made an order, was giving you a tons of issues. Like they've been giving out Beyond Real from Vault Comics, but they also gave out Unnatural Order. And I read the first issue and I really liked it. The shop I went to here in my new city had issues 2, 3, and 4. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pick these up. And dude, I burned through all three of those issues and it is so good. So quick synopsis of Unnatural Order. Damn, how do you even explain this? There's this guy who's kind of gone throughout time. They call him the Druid and he ends up in like, you know, present day and he interacts with like a nuclear collider. And in so doing, this is probably like the dumbest way to explain something. So it's like all people who are like way smarter than me are like, that's not what happened. But, anyway, he interacts with the nuclear collider and he makes a new universe. And so it goes back and now it's like kind of like the fantasy era, right? So it's now like, you know, medieval times, but with like magic. And what you find out is this like Navy SEAL, the main character, Murphy, he's a Navy SEAL who's like sent to go take down this guy who, you know, goes to this high profile target, this collider, and he interacts with him and he gets, boom, like transitioned into this other world. But he goes as himself, as like the Navy SEAL from, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. And it's the same year. It's not like back in time, but this guy, the Druid, has changed the whole world in the image he wants it. And so he starts interacting with like, you know, a big Viking guy, a Roman centurion, like an archer outlaw, and then like a magic user as well. And so he's trying to find the Druid. And you realize there's some kind of connection between him and this guy, and he can't be hurt by him, and monsters and magic and everything. And in issue 3, which is old now, so it's kind of okay if I spoil this. In issue 3, you find out that all these people he's been with, this little clan of like medieval people who are like, yo, what the hell's that gun you got in your hand? They're actually real life people. They go through a bubble and they turn back into what they were before the blip, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So then you show them and like they're, hey, this is what happened. You find out that this guy just like retconned the world. And some crazy shit happened in issue 4. Was like a double retcon of a retcon, which sounds wild as shit, but
like the Flash.
Yeah,
except, goes back in time,
except better. I don't know, it's more clean maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but it's really good and like really really enjoy it. And it's written by Yost, which he's awesome, dude. So check it out, Unnatural Order. There's 4 issues out right now, Vault Comics. Super strong. I really enjoyed it, and if you guys check it out and you like it, please let me know, because yeah, It's really cool.
You guys touched on so many books that I was looking to read. Like, Justin kind of like ruined a few of them for me. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to skip some of those. But
good reads.
Yeah. But dude, I agree with a majority of the things you said, especially with like the Momoko Ultimate X-Men, man. It was a rough start. So I like, I'm going to read issue two, but like, I'm now going to go into it with lesser hopes. And yeah, man, I guess
I don't think it's going to last. I'm telling you, I don't think this will be the first, like normally.
Go back to doing art, not writing, man.
Yeah, but dude, so they need to pair her with somebody. That's the reality. Like, maybe she needs an editor or something to like be like, no, okay, like let's change this or something. Because right now, they're giving her free range.
Interiors. I don't think she should be doing interiors. I don't know how a writer writes her into like her art either. Yeah. I can't imagine. So it's tough. Like, stick to the covers. People love her covers. Mm-hmm. Some people do that are out there that do, but
I like some of them. I think there's a ton that I own that are expensive, like her early stuff. Bird City's dropping the Spider-Gwen one. I think it looks awesome. You know, it's always like, you know, they're hit or miss for her. But yeah, like, I don't think you can't do the interiors. I think she just it spreads her too thin.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure, man. But I'm happy.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm happy nobody spoke about Beneath the Trees issue 5 yet. So,
oh, I did read that, but I will not talk about that. But
thank you. No,
no, we'll save that for next week. There's actually another book, but I'm going to save it for next week as well.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's our this week. BC, thanks for jumping on. Let everyone know where they can find you.
It's a pleasure, dude. Always happy to hop on and chill with you guys, especially Zach. More so Zach, but no, you can catch me over on my channel, man. Black Crown Comics. I go live every Sunday, every week, doing Justin's favorite videos for New Comic Book Day, letting people know what's coming out within the week. Now, I don't pump them and tell you guys go buy them. I just tell you guys what's happening. You do what you want with it. But yeah, man. So come hang out, man. Every Sunday live with a rotating guest every week.
That's just because Justin picks on you guys in the group chat, dude.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. But it's brutal.
He's kind of like a Flash Thompson with legs.
We got him, bro. Yeah, he's a Flash
Thompson. He's a Flash Thompson with legs, dude.
Don't worry. Terrific Con, bro. It's all coming. God. It's all going to come together. Trust me.
You can't show up Friday morning, bro. You need to get there on Thursday. Like, Thursday is the day. Like,
if it was up to me and I didn't have my kids or my job, I could assure you I'd be there Wednesday and leave never.
Well, I'll see you in June because supposedly you're coming to New York in June.
So. Yeah, hopefully, man. I'm actually headed to Europe, not next week because Monday I'm at Monday Night Raw. I'm surprised we didn't talk wrestling, but the week after that I'm in Europe, so I find out if I have room and board. In New York.
Can I take over your channel for the Sunday night that you're not there then?
Absolutely. Ooh, man, have fun, dude. Free reigns. Zach, you're more than welcome to take control, though.
That would be ideal. Takeover.
That would be a cool live show. Just BC's show. We'll do your exact we'll do everything that you normally do.
Yeah, come back from Europe
and just shit on books.
Come back from Europe. I lost 300 subscribers.
Thanks, Leftaros, for here's the FOCs. This is a garbage book. This is going to be a good book. Don't pre-order this.
This is Future Hot Garbage on Comic-Con Podcast.
Love it.
Awesome. Before I should have spoke about this earlier, another community event this weekend, Lehigh Valley Comic-Con. I've been talking about it every week. Our buddy Scott Palachek will be there, set up booth 428. And surprise, I myself and the Comic-Con Podcast will also be joined by Scott. So this weekend over in PA, you can go ahead. I posted it on Instagram. I will be sitting with Scott over at booth 428 this weekend. So make sure you get a chance to check it out. If you are in the Allentown area, it is in Allentown, PA from 10 o'clock to 7 o'clock over at the Allentown's Fairgrounds Expo Center. So I really appreciate it. So we will have shirts, some stickers, and of course the new Ahsoka cover, and I'll just be hanging out with everybody and, you know, maybe buying some books, but you know, please join me and Scott out there this Saturday.
Hell yeah. I wish I could make it out there. That's going to be a lot of fun, man. Yep. Too bad Scott couldn't make it out to King Con.
Yeah. You know, but you know, I'll get a long time just chilling with him talking. So yeah, and I know there's some other community vendors setting up as well, but big thing, obviously we were always pushing Scott stuff, and he, you know, obviously he's got more issues coming out for, Marvis. So.
Awesome.
Just through Zach. What else?
That's it. That's it, man. I think that's all we got. We will be back next week. In a couple months, we'll be hosting Black Crown Comics. Sounds like that's already in the books. Buddy.
So, let's do it. I have told you guys it's an open invite. You know, Justin hits me up. Bullshit.
Yeah, what? When are you gonna have me on, man? When are you gonna have me on, man?
Whoa! I don't. Whoa! That no. I don't open beg to come invite. On your show. I don't come on. No, don't tell people I beg to come on your show.
so thirsty.
I love it.
Now, well, thanks everyone for tuning in again to another episode. It was a little long. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
BC, thanks for coming on again, man. You're always welcome for sure.
Pleasure, bro.
All right, everybody. Yeah. Thanks. Season 4, episode 15. We'll catch you all next week.
Laters.
Adios.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.